the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we'll study chapter 14 from the book of Acts. Chapter 14 actually concludes the first missionary trip of St. Paul. So by the end of this chapter, the first missionary trip of St. Paul is concluded. Let me give you a summary of the chapter. The chapter starts by the work of St. Paul and St. Barnabas at Iconium. Then the flight to Lystra and Derbe, and how the cripple at Lystra was healed. Then the reaction of the people, the heathen, wanted to worship St. Paul and Barnabas as gods. But they refused to be worshipped as gods. So actually, people turned from worshipping them into persecuting them. And persecution raised against Paul and Barnabas by the Jews. And St. Paul was stoned until they supposed him to be dead. Then they returned to visit the new churches, and they ordained the priests. Then they returned to Antioch of Syria, because there is Antioch Pisidia and Antioch of Syria. And Antioch of Syria, this was the center of the mission. So every missionary trip started from Antioch of Syria and ended at Antioch of Syria. And he gave report of their labor. This is a summary of the chapter. Let's start reading it verse by verse. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. It was their custom when they enter into a city to go to the synagogue of the Jews. As St. Paul was a Jewish person, so that is the custom, to go to the synagogue of the Jews and to speak to them about Christ and the good news of salvation. And actually, many of the Greeks attended the synagogue, although the synagogue was a temple for the Jews. How? Because some of them, they feared the God of Israel and they worshipped the God of Israel. That's why some of the Greeks attended the synagogue of the Jews. Also, some of them joined Judaism, and they called them the proselytes. Proselytes, بالعربي معناها الدخلاء, لأنهم دخلوا على اليهودية. So some of the Greeks joined Judaism, and they were called proselytes. So actually, when they preached in the synagogue, we read here that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. So this was like the nucleus of the church at Antioch, Iconium. At Iconium. Verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. So here we have two groups. The Jews who became Christians and believed in Christ and the unbelieving Jews. And these unbelieving Jews caused division. They rejected the message of the gospel. And not only they rejected the message of the gospel, but also they wanted St. Paul and St. Barnabas to stop preaching the gospel. That's why they stirred up the Gentiles. Of course, they could do nothing without the help of the Gentiles, because Iconium is a Gentile city. That's why they want the help of the Gentiles in order to stop St. Paul and Barnabas from their service. That's why they poisoned their mind and they tried to stir them against Paul and Barnabas. But in spite of this, we read in verse 3, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And here we see the boldness of the apostles. They were not afraid, but rather they stayed longer in the city. And they preached the gospel of Christ. And when God actually saw their boldness, he supported them by great signs and wonders. And this is actually how God deals with us. When we do our part, God will bless our ministry. So when God saw their boldness and their determination to stay long in that city instead of what the unbelieving Jews is doing against them, so God supported them with wonders and miracles. Verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. So here we can see division among the people. Why division? Because many people don't like the unity. The children of God, they like the unity, the oneness. But the children of the devil, they like division. So when somebody divides, definitely he is not son of God. He is son of the devil. But the children of God work in unity, in harmony, in love, in oneness. Verse 5. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it. So there was a conspiracy here. But it is clear it was only a conspiracy, but they didn't do anything to the apostles. It was like a movement only. It was like an attempt to abuse them. Attempt. But they could not succeed to abuse the apostles, because they became aware of it, they received information, and they escaped from the city in order to avoid this abuse. Verse 6, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia and to the surrounding region. The Lord instructed the apostles that if they go to a city and they do not receive them, the Lord told them, shake off the dust from your feet or from your shoes and go to another city. And this is exactly what they did. when they were there was an attempt to abuse them in Iconium, they left Iconium and they went to Lystra and Derbe. These two cities are not far from Iconium. But now there are some ruins of Lystra and ruins of Derbe. These cities do not exist anymore nowadays. Then we read in verse 7, and they were preaching the gospel there. So they start to preach the gospel of salvation, the gospel of salvation to the people in Lystra and Derbe. Verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Here actually, the account of healing of this cripple is mentioned. Why? Although they did many, many miracles. Why the Bible mentioned this story? You know, we heard in Iconium that the Lord bore witness to the word of his grace and many signs and wonders were done there. But not even a single miracle was recorded. But why this healing of this crippled man is recorded? Actually, because this miracle led to the attempt to kill Paul and Barnabas. And actually, they stoned St. Paul until death, or until they assumed that he died. So the reason of recording this miracle, it is because of this miracle, St. Paul was stoned. Verse 9. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. I don't know what exactly St. Paul saw, but you cannot see faith. But here we read that St. Paul was looking intently at him and he saw that he had faith. Maybe he saw his attentiveness. Maybe the facial expression reflected the joy and the peace and the confidence in God. And here, actually, in this verse, we can see what are the steps of being saved. The first step is to hear the word of God, like this crippled man. Then actually to believe in the word of God, like this crippled man. After this, as we read in verse 10, St. Paul gave him a command. So the command that calls for an exercise of faith. If you believe, you need to show me your faith by work. So when he gave a command to this crippled man, and this crippled man tried to stand up, this actually reflected his faith. Because if he did not believe, he wouldn't even try to stand up. So here there is an effort to obey the faith. And finally, the salvation or the healing. In the same way, the salvation of our souls goes through these five steps. You hear the word of God. You believe in the word of God. Then there are commandments in the word of God directed to you to exercise your faith. Then you need to do the effort to obey the word of God, then actually salvation will happen. As we read in verse 10. After St. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed, he gave him a command. What was the command? St. Paul said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. If he did not believe, he wouldn't try to stand up. This man never walked from his mother's womb. So again, hear the word of God, believe in it, listen to the command to exercise your faith, do the effort to exercise your faith, then actually be saved. Verse 11. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices saying in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Actually, they believed, and in their myth, they believed that God can become man. God can come down in form of men. Maybe you will say, so how the pagan, how the heathen believe that God can become a man? Actually, because of the trade and the merchant. So people travel from here to there. So many people actually travel from Judea, who through the prophecies knew that the Messiah will come. And these stories were shared with the Gentiles. So the Gentiles took this story and put them in the form of legend. And that's why we hear about, for the example, the Trinity in Aziz, Horis, and their son. So that is this Trinity, how they believe in it? Because of the interaction with the merchant from the Jews. So they said, when they saw St. Paul and St. Barnabas did this miracle, they said, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Apparently, Lystra had its own language, the language of Lycaonia. St. Paul, of course, was preaching in Greek, and they understood him, but when they saw the miracle, they responded in their own native language, in the language of Lycaonia. And he said, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Verse 12. And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Actually, two pagan gods, Zeus and Hermes. Zeus actually there is another name for Zeus, who is Jupiter. Jupiter. So they gave Barnabas the name of Jupiter or Zeus, and they gave Barnabas the name of Hermes. Also Hermes, there is another name for Hermes, which is Mercurius. And Mercury means the interpreter of God. The interpreter who interpret the God. So the word Hermes or Mercurius means the interpreter of God. And actually, I'm sure some of you heard about the word hermeneutics. Hermeneutics actually is the science of the interpretation of the scripture. And hermeneutics is coming from the word Hermes, which means the interpreter of God. And St. Paul, because he was eloquent, persuasive, active, preacher, so they said he represents Mercury or Mercurius, and they gave him the name Mercury or Hermes, because he was, in their mind, he was like the interpreter of God. Not only that, but they want to offer sacrifices to them. In verse 13, then the priest of Zeus, or Jupiter, for the same god, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands like crowns of flowers and roses, to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitude. So there was actually a temple in the front of the city. So the priest of the temple brought oxen and garland to put on their necks like crowns, and oxen in order to offer them before the god. But here we will see the reaction of St. Paul, who rejected to be worshipped as God. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes, ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." So here St. Paul actually and Barnabas, and both of them here took the term apostles, the apostle. Apostles means messenger, because they were carrying the message of the gospel. They tore their clothes as a sign of grief, as a sign of holy anger, indignation. And they told them, "We are not God, we are human exactly like you." And actually, they took this opportunity to preach them the true God. And they told them, "We are here to tell you to turn away from this useless and this vain worships in order to worship the true God, the living God who created heaven and earth and all things that are in them." Verse 16. "Who in bygone generation allowed all nations to walk in their own ways?" Actually, in the Old Testament, God allowed and he left the nations to their own conceits, until God became man and God started to search for our salvation. And here actually God is calling people to turn back to him. Also, why God let them in the time past go in their own ways? In order to come to this conclusion that we cannot save ourselves, that we cannot be saved without the Lord, that we need a Savior. So God left them in the time past to their own ways in order to reach this conclusion. This reminds me how God left Peter, Andrew, James, and John trying to catch fish all night in order to come to this conclusion. We labored all night and we caught nothing. Then in the fullness of time, when God came, Christ went, to the seashore on the morning and told to them, go to the depth and cast your net for a catch. And they were able to catch many fish. Actually, they realized that it is the grace of God. In the same way, God, in by one generation, allowed all nations to walk in their own way, to tell them, let me see if you can save yourself by your human wisdom. But everybody failed, and everybody felt the need for a savior. That's why in verse 17, St. Paul continues and says, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness. In every generation, God sent us prophets. So God never left himself without witness. In that, he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with fruit and gladness. Not only the witness of the prophet, but also the witness of the nature and God's word in us. Actually, he did good with everybody, with those who believed in him and those who did not believe in him. He sent rain from heaven and he gave us fruitful season. He filled our hearts with food and gladness, with joy and gladness. So God actually worked with the people even in the Old Testament. That's why St. Paul, reflecting on the ignorance of the, sorry, St. David in one of the Psalms, reflecting on the ignorance of the people, he told them, look to the heaven. The heavens declare the glory of God. Look to the space. The space bears witness to his majesty. السماوات تحدث مجد الله والفلك يخبر بعمل يدين. So even the nature bore witness for Christ himself. Verse 18. And with this saying, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Finally, St. Paul and Barnabas were able to convince the multitude not to offer any sacrifices to them. Verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came hither, Antioch, Pisidia, because before they went to Iconium, they were in Antioch, Pisidia. So the non-believing Jews, when they heard about the ministry of St. Paul in Lystra, so they came from Antioch and they came from Iconium to Lystra. And having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Apparently these people were too naive. You can convince them one way or another. Few days ago, they wanted actually to worship St. Paul and to offer sacrifices to him. And after a few days, they actually stoned St. Paul to the extent that they assumed that he died and they dragged him out of the city. And this stoning, St. Paul referred to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Verse 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, so after the Jews dragged him outside the city, they left him, supposing that he died. So the disciples came and gathered around him, bottom, and they saw St. Paul. He rose up and went into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. to another city. And here, actually, I'm surprised at St. Paul. Maybe if I'm in his situation, I will take few days off before going to another city to preach the word of Christ. But St. Paul was stoned to the death today. Then actually, they took him into the city, and on the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe in order to start their ministry and their preaching there. The word disciples here refer to the Christians. The Christians were called the disciples of Christ. Until in Antioch of Syria, they replaced the word disciples of Christ by the word Christian. So when you read the disciples in the book of Acts, this word refers to the all the Christians, all the believers. So the disciples came and he rose up, and actually second day he went to Derbe with St. Paul. Verse 21. Filled with St. Barnabas. Verse 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So they preached the gospel in Derbe. And they were able to convert many to Christianity. The word, they made many disciples. Disciples to whom? Disciples to Christ. So if they were able to make many disciples there, this means they were able to convert many people to Christianity. And maybe you assume when they return, they will avoid the cities in which they were persecuted. Maybe we suppose them to, especially to avoid Lystra, when St. Paul was stoned. But here we read that they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Doing what? Maybe just they are passing through the city. No. Read verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. These tribulations, this persecution will by no means stop us from preaching the gospel of Christ. So while they were going back through the cities, they were strengthening the disciples, encouraging them to carry the cross, explaining to them that through and with many, many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom of God. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church, elders mean priests. So they ordained priests in every church in order to continue the ministry of the apostle. And prayed and fasting. Prayed and fasting was the ordination is done during the time of the liturgy, while we are fasting and we are praying. Then they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They entrusted them to the hands of God in whom they had believed. Verse 24, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word Perga, they went down to Attalia. So now explaining their journey back. So, and they preached the word wherever they went. They preached in Perga. Actually, in the beginning of this missionary trip, the first missionary trip, St. Paul stopped in Perga and preached the gospel there. As we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. Acts 13, verse 13 and 14. We see that St. Paul stopped at Perga in the beginning of his missionary trip to preach the gospel to them. Then they went to Attalia. Attalia is a seaport not far from Persia. From there, verse 26, they sailed to Antioch. Antioch here is Antioch, not Pisidia, but Antioch of Syria, where they had been commended to the grace of God, where they had started their missionary trip by the grace of God. They had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. So they accomplished the task. They preached the word of God, and now they returned back to Antioch in order to share all these good news about the salvation of the Gentiles with the church, who was considered at the time like the center of the mission. Verse 27. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that He had opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles. It's very important to share this good news, because sharing this good news motivates the people, encourages the people. So he reported to the church the work of God. And I want you to not fear, he reported all that God had done. Because he knew this work is not their own work, it is the work of God. We are just the tools in the hand of God. And how God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Because many people believe that only faith and salvation is for the Jews. But now, here's St. Paul explaining to them how God, in reality, opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Before moving to another missionary trip, they stayed there with the disciples. Maybe about 2 years they were preaching the gospel of Christ in the city of Antioch of Syria. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Do you have any comments about this chapter? Yes. Yeah.